Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage.
This, well, their segment's been a legacy with us for many years. Joe and Cindy Farini with My Marriage Matters. They travel around the country with family life on Weekend to Remember engagements, and they join us each week this half hour to offer some marriage and family advice. Thanks for coming back, you two.
Thank you. Good morning.
So take us back to your phase of life when you – it wouldn't have been an Uber driver. You would have been an unpaid taxi driver. What was that like?
Yeah, that's for right. Sure. Well, you know, we only had two children that needed a lot of rides places until later in life. And then it became just Joey needed rides to work every day, which we put in 15 years of 2 hours a day.
Oof.
For his work. But you know, when they were little, I think this is interesting to me because even as a young woman, even before I was married, I remember thinking, when I get married and I have children, I want to live, well, I always wanted to live, but in those ranges particularly, I wanted to live a life of no regret. Not that we did everything perfectly, but I wanted to be sort of, if you will, in the moment of whatever we were doing. And I guess that's kind of how I lived in those times. And so when we were driving the kids around, one of the things that I felt was this was the best place to connect with them because that's where I could hear about their day. We could have conversations. Nobody could leave the car, you know, kind of like Joe sharing the gospel when someone's in the dental chair, you know.
Yeah.
You've got a captive audience. And so I felt like it was more of a matter of time management. How was I going to use this time in the car with them that was going to make it better in some way or another?
So did you have any rules or anything about how much you would be willing to drive your kids around or what happened in the car while you were going places?
I don't think we had any rules. I know that the kids, we wanted them to enjoy the things that they were part of. And so whether it was piano lessons or music or violin lessons or, you know, acting classes or whatever, I really didn't mind doing it because they were enjoying it and they were involved. If there was a rule, I think one of the rules might have been you have to practice and you have to do your part because why would I take you if you're going to just go once a week but you're not going to participate? And I actually remember one time with Christina, she was pretty good on the violin, and she was asked to be in a third orchestra, which would have meant that we would take her downtown. And so we kind of set up, if you will, a list of things that we thought would be important, how much she practiced and, you know, so forth. And we said, but you make the decision. But if you make the decision, then this is what we're going to hold you accountable to. And she thought about it, she prayed about it, and she came back to us and she said, you know, if I take that third orchestra, I will not have any free days in my week and I won't have time to be with Kathleen. And so I think I'm going to say no. And I think that was a great lesson, at least for us and for her, to say, you know, if we're going to do this for you, what's your part in it? You know, what part are you going to carry?
Well, and I actually recall hearing from Kathleen that one of Joe's big traditions was, since he didn't have any sons playing sports or anything, that when he would drive Kathleen to the play, he'd crank on Eye of the Tiger just to get him pumped up.
Oh, nice.
Isn't that right, Joe?
Yeah, we did that pretty traditionally. And that was always a fun. I mean, these are just great times for us in general. And they were also very teachable moments. I mean, that Eye of the Tiger was, for my purpose for doing that, of course, was that I wanted her to recognize that she needs to stay focused and that she always has to do the best that she can do at whatever it is she's doing. And so that just led to some really great conversations with her and thankful for those times and great memories, really.
If it was up to my kids, we would drive like around town all day long from an activity to like, I want to see my friends now. So what boundaries did you set? Because even as a parent, we want them to be involved and to touch all their skills and all of that. But you have to set boundaries. How did you set yours?
Well, I would say one thing that I learned from a friend was this. And I love this and we did it. One of the things was this. If you have an activity or you have something that you want to do, we would like to have 24 hours notice. Now, this wasn't 100%, but it really helped in the long run for all the activities that the kids were in. And what the rule was we had a big calendar, one of the big ones you can get at like the Office Max stores and put it up. Or you guys can use Google Calendar if you're all in sync to one calendar. But we liked that we could look at it all together and see how many things were actually on the calendar. Because sometimes I don't think the kids even realize how much running around you're doing because they don't see it.
Right.
They're just getting there. But if you put it on a huge calendar and you... If you even want to be so creative as to color code each child and say, look where I'm taking you. You know, these are the places. But what we had them do was 24 hours in advance. So if somebody, you know, somebody's going to have a party or someone's going to have a birthday gathering or something, we said we want 24 hours notice. And part of the reason was that if you add things like last minute, sometimes those are the ones you have to be a little leery of because you wonder, why are they planning this party so last minute? Mm-hmm. You know,
right.
I want to know all the details. So our rule was, we want all the information. Where are you going? What is it for? Whose house is it? And I want a phone number and an address. Because if I feel like calling or stopping by, I have that privilege to do that. And while most of the time the kids, we knew the parents of the children that they were hanging out with, there were times that we didn't. And I wanted to know, where are you? If I need you, where are you?
Right.
So they had to let us know. So we had full knowledge of where they were going. And then that really helps them develop sort of a courtesy, if you will, of not being rude or entitled to say, you know, well, why can't I go to my friend's house?
Right.
Well, because the rule is we want you to have 24 hours notice. And we didn't stick to that every single time. If they needed to go someplace and we were free, we were happy to do it. But and then the other thing it teaches them, I think, too, is scheduling techniques. You know, do you really have time to go to this activity when you have 16 other ones on your docket?
Right.
You know,
and being mindful of siblings. I love the color-coded thing because what I'm thinking, color-code their activities and then color-code the amount of times you help. Because sometimes that kid that's super involved is the one that, like, least helps. Everybody else is doing all the work. You know, and they have to be mindful. Like, a lot of times they just ask, like, take me, and then they're not contributing in the same degree at home.
Well, that is a great lead up to one of the points that I was going to make, and that was, what is your kid's carrot? Mm-hmm. You know, what is that carrot that's in front of them? And we used to say to the girls, because they liked going to youth group, just for one example. There were other things. And I would say, why am I taking you to youth group, taking my time out of my day, when you haven't practiced the piano that I'm paying for you to take those lessons? Mm-hmm. And so they had to practice their piano. Sometimes they would sit there for an hour and a half or so on a Wednesday before youth group and practice their piano. But I was not budging if they didn't do their part of whatever, you know. You can make up your own rules. You know, is it an activity like practicing or is it chores around the house? If they don't do it, then I'm not doing my part.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, now, so I feel with all of this driving and all these kids that I'm investing my life like into my car and it's just going away. So is there any eternal purpose for all of this time? We're just, you know, investing in the kids in the car.
Well, I would say yes to that because, I mean, in addition to the practical things that Cindy was talking about, the importance of a calendar and bringing order to our lives and to our sanity, we are also trying to teach our children some godly principles at the same time. And there's a couple of things we can talk about. I mean, the idea of from Matthew 5:37, where your yes be yes and your no be no. I mean, once they put something on that calendar, it's a commitment, and we're trying to help them to understand that once you make a commitment to something, that you have to stay with that commitment. And that applies to you, and that applies to mom and dad as well. And so, you know, it would be great if we could begin to see the eternal values, not only with our driving of our children, but, you know, to everything that we do, and become what is called more of a relational thinker. Well, we filter everything we do through that eternal grid that you're talking about there, mm-hmm. Janelle.
Yeah.
And you know, for our children, you know, these driving times are great, wonderful, teachable moments for our children. that Cindy alluded to. But, you know, as parents, you know, sometimes it's oftentimes we might see these, if you will, opportunities, quote unquote, as interruptions to what I would like to do. And so maybe if I can just spin the plate here a little bit and say, not only are we trying to teach our children godly principles, but we as parents have some things to be learning here as well. And, you know, for most of us, life is pretty busy. And these driving, if you will, opportunities really are things that break up our schedule. And a great scripture verse that I know Brian loves is Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, where it talks about do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. And do not merely look at your own personal interests, but to also the interests of others. And that applies to your children as well. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to, you know, understand that this is a pretty countercultural statement. I think we already agree to that. But as followers of Christ, I mean, we need to ask, why would I do that? And fortunately, the answer is found in the next few verses. And it talks about Jesus, who basically emptied himself and took on the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. And I think as a parent, you know, we need to ask ourselves and realize that, you know, if Jesus did that for us, then we need to quit grumbling when we need to drive our children somewhere. Hmm. And so I think we can, both parties can learn some really significant eternal values by what might seem to be a pretty mundane, you know, simple thing to do. But you can turn that thing around and really make it a great teachable moment for both the children and for the parents.
Well, as we get close to the end here, Cindy, what are some final thoughts you have for us?
Yeah, I do have a couple. One, I think that with this question, you know, is there any eternal purpose? I think, I don't know where I read this. I can't claim that I said it, but I have it in my notes somewhere. And it says, important activities don't make your life more meaningful. A meaningful life makes your activities more important. Okay. And I feel like that's what we have to really be thinking in times like this, because there are going to be so many things that we do, whether it's with our children or just activities at work for that matter, that do seem mundane, or even around the house, you know, like what's the eternal value in it? We don't always see it. But I feel like if we align our activities with the goals that we have and that we feel God has for us, then we should be able to make good decisions of what things will we put on that calendar. Just like that example I started out with Christina, she was aligning what was more important to her. And all that time going downtown and practicing was not as important to her as spending time in the day that she did have free with Kathleen. And the important part of that, I should add too, is that our kids are not going to excel at every single thing they do. And when you begin to see that they're excelling at something, then other activities can drop off, because they're not going to enjoy them probably. And you're going to be able to say, which I remember saying for a few activities with the girls, what is the value of you continuing to do this? Is this something you would like to do for a lifetime? Is this something that are you just having fun with your friends? And then making the determination based upon, you know, what their answers are.
Great stuff. And if folks want to reach out to you, Joe and Cindy Farini, how can they get connected, even submit questions for these segments?
Yes, we'd love that. We'd love for them to either go to our website at joefarini.com or cindyfarini.com, where they can email us. Or the best place, too, is on Facebook at My Marriage Matters. Come there, like it. You'll hear a little something from us every day at 9 o'clock. Also Saturday, we're doing a free lunch, a free mini seminar for people who are caregivers of children or adult children with special needs in Brunswick. We'd love to have people come there. Come look at My Marriage Matters. You'll get information. And last but not least, I believe there's a happy birthday to share. And we wish you a happy birthday this week, Brian.
Yeah. How old are you?
40.
Yeah.
Actually, technically, right now I'm 39.
Okay.
It won't be till next week that I'm 40.
Have a good one.
Hey, thanks, you guys.